If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music, where should they go?
Well, Bandcamp, if you want to support us, and otherwise, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, anywhere else.
We're on all the streaming platforms, so yeah.
Got a music video on YouTube as well.
But yeah, we have a couple music videos on YouTube, actually, if you want to check those out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, any listens, we always appreciate. So you can also find us on Instagram and Facebook and stuff, of course.
Yeah, if you want to see what we're up to or follow us, Instagram, we're at Jimbo the Band. And on Facebook, or just Jim, if you type in Jimbo Band, it will come up and you can follow us there to hear what we're up to.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, no, really appreciate it. Thank you.
You have been listening to Jimbo speaking about their music. I'm your host, Sheila Ferrando.
This is Democracy Now!
Russia has assembled a massive military force of more than 100,000 troops along Ukraine's border. These are combat forces and special forces prepared to conduct offensive actions into Ukraine.
The discussions about the threat of war is provocative in and of itself. You are almost calling for this. You want it to happen.
As the U.S. and NATO allies send arms to Ukraine and Russia amasses troops on its border, can a war in Europe be averted? We'll speak to Medea Benjamin of Code Pink about how the peace movement is responding.
NATO should have been dissolved after the Cold War. Instead, it's an aggressive organization that's provoking this conflict. We have to not only say Ukraine should not be part of NATO, but NATO should be dissolved.
We'll also talk to peace activists in Belgium, the home of NATO, and Germany, which is refusing to send arms to Ukraine. And we'll talk to a Ukrainian sociologist who says the U.S. media is harming Ukraine by spreading hysteria about the crisis. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The United States and Russia clash Monday at the United Nations Security Council over the crisis in Ukraine. The U.S. accused Russia of preparing to invade Ukraine by amassing over 100,000 troops on its border. But Russia rejected the charge, claiming it was the United States and NATO who are trying to push Russia into war. This is Russia's U.N. ambassador.
Our Western colleagues are talking about the need for de-escalation. However, first and foremost, they themselves are whipping up tensions and rhetoric and are provoking escalation. The discussions about a threat of war is provocative in and of itself. You are almost calling for this. You want it to happen.
Last week, President Biden placed 8,500 U.S. troops on high alert. The U.S. and NATO allies are also shipping weapons to Ukraine. On the diplomatic front, U.S. Secretary of State Tony Blinken set to speak with his Russian counterpart Sergei Lavrov by phone today. In Washington, U.S. senators are preparing to unveil a bill imposing what Senator Robert Menendez described as the mother of all sanctions targeting Putin, Russian banks, and other entities. We'll have more on the crisis over Ukraine after headlines. Chinese authorities say they've identified over 200 coronavirus infections among athletes and personnel involved in the Beijing Winter Olympics as China struggles to maintain its zero COVID strategy. The Winter Olympics opening ceremony will be Friday. Over the weekend, authorities sealed off several residential areas of Beijing where two locally transmitted COVID-19 cases were detected. In Canada, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said Monday he tested positive for coronavirus and will work from home. Trudeau, who received a booster shot in early January, reported no symptoms. He said two of his three school-aged children also tested positive and once again called on Canadians to get vaccinated. Over the weekend, thousands of protesters arrived in Ottawa to oppose vaccine mandates for truck drivers who cross the Canada-U.S. border. Trudeau said some of the protesters displayed Confederate flags, swastikas, and other symbols of hate.
There is always a right to protest peacefully that I and others will defend fully as part of this democracy. There is not a right to incite violence, to perform acts of violence, or to spew hatred.
The number of daily coronavirus infections reported around the United States continues to fall rapidly from mid-January's peak, but remains higher than at any other point in the pandemic. More than 2,500 people are dying of COVID-19 each day, with the official U.S. death toll on pace to pass 900,000 in mid-February. Pfizer is preparing to request emergency use authorization for its vaccine in children aged 6 months to 5 years old. That's according to The Washington Post, which reports the request by Pfizer and its partner BioNTech could come far sooner than expected, and a decision by health regulators could come as early as the end of February. Meanwhile, the Food and Drug Administration's fully authorized Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine for use in U.S. adults. It's the second vaccine to get full FDA approval after Pfizer's mRNA vaccine won full authorization last August. The New York Times reports former President Trump directed his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, to ask the Department of Homeland Security if it could legally take control of voting machines in key swing states after Trump lost the 2020 election. The Times cited three anonymous sources who said Trump also explored proposals for two other government agencies, the Pentagon and the Justice Department, to seize voting machines in an effort to reverse his defeat. The Washington Post reports some of the White House records turned over to the National Archives to congressional investigators had been ripped up by Trump and then taped back together. Trump reportedly had a habit of tearing presidential records into shreds and tossing them on the floor in violation of the Presidential Records Act. CNN reports former Vice President Mike Pence's chief of staff, Mark Short, quietly testified last week before the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection. Meanwhile, in Georgia, Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis has asked the FBI to provide security after Trump called on his supporters at a weekend rally to target what he called radical, vicious, racist prosecutors. Last week, a judge approved Willis's request to convene a special grand jury to investigate Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. She is an African-American woman. In Florida, Republican Governor Ron DeSantis Monday lashed out at people who've called on him to condemn a series of Nazi demonstrations over the weekend near Orlando. DeSantis accused Democrats of trying to, quote, smear me as if I had something to do with it. His remarks came after his press secretary, Christina Pushaw, deleted a tweet suggesting the protesters weren't real Nazis and questioned whether they were Democrats in disguise. Meanwhile, police in Chicago have arrested a suspect in a string of apparent hate crimes targeting the Jewish community. The windows of two Jewish-owned Chicago businesses were smashed Saturday, while on Sunday, a synagogue and Jewish school were vandalized with swastika images and anti-Semitic graffiti. Amnesty International has published a new report accusing Israel of carrying out the crime of apartheid against Palestinians. Amnesty Secretary General Agnes Callamard told reporters in occupied East Jerusalem today, Israel's treatment of Palestinians constitutes a cruel system of domination and a crime against humanity.
We are here today to call on the international community to take resolute action against the crime of humanity being perpetrated in order to maintain the system of apartheid.
Israeli officials had demanded Amnesty International not release the report, calling its findings false, biased, and anti-Semitic. In related news, three Israeli military officers are being disciplined over their involvement in the January death of a 78-year-old Palestinian-American man in the West Bank. Two were removed from their positions, and the third will be formally censured. None have been criminally charged. Omar Assad died of a stress-induced heart attack after being bound and gagged and held in a cold construction site by the Israeli soldiers who detained him at a checkpoint while he drove home. In immigration news, the Homeland Security Department confirmed Monday it will expel Venezuelan asylum seekers apprehended at the U.S.-Mexico border to Colombia if they previously lived there. The Biden administration had already quietly begun returning Venezuelans to Colombia using a contested Trump-era so-called public health policy called Title 42, which allows U.S. immigration officials to remove asylum seekers without due process during the pandemic. In Mexico, journalist Roberto Toledo was assassinated in the state of Michoacán on Monday, the fourth Mexican media member killed in January alone. Toledo reported for the local news outlet Monitor Michoacán. The outlet's director denounced Toledo's murder in a video posted on social media and said their team had received several death threats.
Today, the threats were ultimately fulfilled. One of our colleagues lost his life at the hands of three people who shot him in a mean and cowardly manner. We are not armed. We do not carry weapons. Our only defense is our pen.
To see our segment on the murder of Mexican journalists, you can go to democracynow.org. Burma's military rulers have extended a state of emergency for another 6 months. Monday's announcement came just ahead of the first anniversary of the February 1st coup that deposed democratically elected leader Aung San Suu Kyi. Burmese military officials have threatened to bring charges of sedition and terrorism against businesses that join a silent strike today to protest the military dictatorship. Meanwhile, there were reports of scattered protests in the capital, Rangoon. UN human rights officials report at least 1,500 people are known to have been killed in the year of protests following the coup. In Brazil, over a dozen people, including seven children, have died in the state of Sao Paulo since Friday in landslides and flooding triggered by torrential rains. Some 500 families lost their homes. Meanwhile, in Ecuador, at least 11 people died and several others injured in Quito as cars, mud, rocks and tree trunks were swept away by flooding after a day of record rainfall Monday. The Biden administration said Monday it'll reinstate regulations on emissions of toxic mercury and other pollutants from coal and oil-fired power plants. The move reverses a rollback of environmental rules imposed by President Trump in April 2020. A federal appeals court has ruled an Arizona utility company can be held liable for violations of antitrust laws after it charged its customers higher rates for electricity if they chose to install solar panels on their rooftops. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals found evidence that the Salt River Project utility company structured its pricing to unlawfully thwart competition from solar energy systems. Some Salt River Project customers in Phoenix saw their electricity prices rise by more than 60% after they installed solar panels on their homes. In labor news, the Workers United Union says workers at 16 more Starbucks locations around the United States petitioned the National Labor Relations Board for union elections Monday. That brings the number of Starbucks stores where workers are organizing to 54 across 19 states. In December, workers at a Buffalo Starbucks store successfully organized the first union at the coffee giant's 9,000 U.S. locations. In California, a Democratic lawmaker called off a vote Monday on whether to establish a single-payer, universal health care system moments before the California State Assembly was scheduled to take up the bill. AB 1400, also known as the California Guaranteed Health Care for All Act, had failed to garner the support of enough Democrats, even though the party has a veto-proof majority in the California legislature. Progressives have vowed to fight to bring the bill to a vote in the next legislative session. The California Democratic Party Progressive Caucus responded, quote, "Health care is a human right, and in the midst of a global pandemic, our Democratic supermajority showed its true colors and its loyalty to the profits of the healthcare industry over the needs of their constituents," unquote. And in Georgia, a federal judge has rejected plea deals between federal prosecutors and two of the three white men convicted of murdering Ahmaud Arbery. The deals would have allowed Gregory and Travis McMichael to serve the first 30 years of their life sentences in a federal prison instead of a state prison and to avoid a federal trial scheduled for next week. Ahmaud's father, Marcus Arbery, Monday condemned the plea agreement, saying all three of his son's killers should face federal hate crimes charges.
"And we want 100% justice, not no half justice. because you got to think, if an African-American man were to deal with a white man like that, they were trying to kill him on the spot.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. When we come back, we'll look at the U.S.-NATO-Ukraine situation as Russia amasses troops on the Ukraine border and NATO and the United States send weapons to Ukraine. Can a war in Europe be averted? Stay with us.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday, there will be scattered flurries and a high of 2 degrees Celsius. Thursday, there will be snow and a high of 0 degrees Celsius. Friday, there will be scattered flurries and a high of minus 10 degrees Celsius. Saturday, there will be a mix of sun and clouds and a high of minus 15 degrees Celsius. Sunday will be cloudy with sunny breaks and with a high of minus 10 degrees Celsius. Monday will be mainly cloudy with a high of minus 7 degrees Celsius. And finally, Tuesday will bring a mix of sun and clouds and a high of minus 7 degrees Celsius.
Dreams into the melting pot. Up on a shelf we lay both, soon forgotten it. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Those days are gone. Those days are gone. Well, in my dreams I wrote a letter. The doorstep of my mind returned to sender. And I don't know how to forget her. Please, Mr. Postman, won't you be my great pretender? Cause poured our dreams into the melting pot. Up on a shelf we lay both, soon forgotten name. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Those days are gone. Those those days ago, my darling, no. To receive. Well, that's fine, I guess I'll take my time walking this uphill dead end street. 'Cause we poured our dreams into the melting pot. Up on a shelf we label some forgotten name. Well, I don't know what you're talking about those days ago.
FM in Montreal. No boundaries. Feel alive.
Our legacy is what we leave behind in this world. Jasmine is an ambitious Indigenous woman trying to create an environment that is normalizing caring for one's mental health, as well as a world where her sons can be Indigenous and proud legacy. With us today, we have Jasmine Parisian. Hi, Jasmine, and welcome to the show.
Hi.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you became a generational negativity breaker.
I just introduced myself in my Anishinaabe Moem language. My spirit name is Forever Sky. The reason why I became a generational negativity breaker is because I've been through so much trauma in my life that I wanted to choose positivity, which is not a choice a lot of people in my previous circle made.
Can you expand on that a little bit?
A lot of conflict and trauma in my previous circle, they would avoid it or they would confront it with anger and then silence it after the anger was presented. And I didn't like that process of confronting conflicts or issues that came up. And it was my say or none at all kind of deal. And so I wanted to change that because I went to University of Winnipeg and I learned how I minored in conflict resolution. And this really helped me change my perspective in the life that I grew up in.
How did you view your life at that time that meant that conflict resolution was significant to you?
Conflict resolution, they really look at conflict not so much as a conflict, like traditionally of negativity. Conflict resolution at the University of Winnipeg, they really like to look at conflict as an opportunity to change the situation, because some people's conflict styles is to avoid, which doesn't give the opportunity to change that situation. And so when the conflict does arise, it gives the person the opportunity to change that situation. And that's what I really like about it, is that the root of it changes your perspective of how you see conflict.
What does it mean to be Indigenous and an author?
Traditionally, in Canada, a lot of Indigenous voices are silenced. I also majored in Indigenous studies, and I've learned from studying Indigenous studies that a lot of our stories are not presented as fact. And so me being an Indigenous author is breaking that generational barrier of our stories not being heard. So that way, when my children grow up, they're born into a world that where their voices are valid and acknowledged and heard. Like, it's not something that's foreign to to the ear, at least in Canada, I'm hoping.
Tell us about your TikTok address. What fictional stories can be found there?
So my TikTok address is at LovelyJasminePe. The stories that can be found there, a lot of them right now is promotional videos for my book, but I am reposting previous stories, poems, short stories, improvised stories, and it really, my perspective is Indigenous spirituality, and like my target for the Indigenous spirituality is to challenge the mentality of depression, anxiety, suicide, like really sensitive topics, LGBTQ+, two-spiritedness. It's a way of bringing tough topics in a creative way for people who maybe don't want to hear it up front. You know what I mean? Like who don't want it, when they hear the word suicide, they run away. But I try to present it in a way that is creative and able to be easier to the listening ear.
At 28 years of age, you're the single mother of three boys under 7 years of age. How has this affected your career?
It's funny that you asked that. My sons are the reason why I'm a writer. Prior to this, as I've mentioned, I was studying at the University of Winnipeg. I was a university student and I was one semester away from graduating, but my sons became my priority in this new transition of my life of being a single mother. And so I had to think resourcefully, what can I do with my time that would not only benefit us as a family, but as an Indigenous representative? And so writing just came so naturally to me.
Where else can we find your stories and which ones can you name?
I have a lot of, I'm on all platforms, major platforms right now. I have an Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and Facebook page, but the ones that really hold my content is YouTube and TikTok. TikTok and YouTube are the ones that really hold my content, and you can find those at the username at LovelyJasmineP. And I really, YouTube is where I share my longer, more personal stories, as well as the depth of my book. My book has no content explanation, and YouTube is where you'll find like kind of the backstory behind things. TikTok is where my creative expression is where I really target my audience.
When you're not writing, which activities inspire or distract you?
Like I said, I'm on TikTok a lot, and it can be a real big distraction sometimes, but I like to use it also as a comfort because we are in a pandemic. Me and my children had to isolate twice already in the past 30 days. And so TikTok is really where I found my comfort. And I follow a lot of round dance singers and powwow singers. And that's where my heart is listening to those singers. It takes me back to my childhood.
Could you please read us 4 minutes passages from one of your stories?
So the one I read is called Truth. It's a poem that's not really, it wasn't taken as much as I would like it to on TikTok because it's such a serious content, but I would like to present it today. Truth. Does my smile scare you? Knowing I carry the truth within, knowing you cannot hold me silent no more, your words that once haunt me have no more power. I feel like you know more than I. How many like me, or were, or still afraid? How many more have you taken their tongue away? Will I be able to inspire their fire, or will they stay tired, or would they rather gather to empower their loved ones louder than the flicker you continue to shower? And that's the end of it.
Well, that was good.
Thank you.
If our listeners want some free reading time, more information, or to buy your works, where should they go?
They can contact me either on my Facebook or on TikTok. I do have open to messages. I'm still learning to contact people right now, but Facebook is probably a good place to start.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this time.
You've been listening to Jasmine Parisian speaking about her career as an author. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Hello and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized, informative podcast made to be listened in the shower, but really you can listen to it wherever you want.
The whole point of this podcast is that we take the mysteries of the world, the questions that you've always wondered the answer to, but never quite went as far as looking them up, and we debunk them in a bite-sized, informative way.
So far, we've answered questions like...
Why do we never see baby pigeons?
Why the hell do I say cheese in photographs?
What is a hangover?
Why do farts smell? And loads, loads more. And this week is no different. Taz, what are we looking at this week?
This week's episode is similar to a one we did a few weeks ago, but it's not quite sneezing. It's hiccuping. This episode of In the Shower where Taz and Marcus asks, what's a hiccup? So this question was asked by Sophia Fornbacher from Boston.
Boston.
Have you ever been to Boston, Marcus?
I have. Oh. I actually have, yeah. I was about 15 and my dad was giving a talk in Harvard.
Oh.
And I went over and I bought a guitar over there and I thought I wanted to go to Berklee School of Music for a long time. Boston's a cool city.
Very cool.
Boston.
Boston. I went there once when I was living in Chicago and I was a super poor student.
Yeah, you were like mega broke, weren't you?
Mega broke back then. And I shit you not, I flew to Boston with less than $10 in my bank account.
I actually remember seeing that on Facebook. But I feel like, you know, I've never met somebody who is as good at being frugal as you.
Yeah, like I spent a summer in Ocean City, Maryland as well, just the summer before I was in Chicago. And I applied for my social security number really, really late. So I couldn't cash any of my paychecks until about a quarter way through the summer. So I was working for about 2.5 months before I could actually cash in any of my paychecks.
Yeah.
And I was working in an ice cream parlor, so I got feck all tips. And that's just what I lived off, was the tips from the ice cream parlor. I genuinely had about $20 a week. And I used to buy a handful of vodka that was about $10 and a 24-pack of ramen noodles. And that honestly was me for the week. I've no idea how I survived. Yeah, I know.
Jesus, not the lifestyle you're used to now with your chef boyfriend. Am I right?
Yeah, that you are. On that note, what's for dinner tonight,
anyway,
Marcus?
Anyway, let's go with the episode.
Okay, so back to the question at hand. What are hiccups?
Do you know what? I first... want to know what a hiccup is, and then I want to know how it got called hiccup. I mean, like, it's such a great word to say. Like, it kind of bounces around your mouth a little bit. It's like hiccup, hiccup, hiccup. it's a nice word to say.
Well, good news. By the end of the episode, we will get to that. So,
right.
The medical term for hiccups is cingulitis, and it's defined as a quick involuntary inhalation that follows a spasm of the diaphragm and is suddenly checked by closure of the glottis, producing a short, relatively sharp sound.
The glottis. You know, next time I get a hiccup at any kind of awkward moment, I'm just going to turn around and be like, oh no, not the cingulitis again.
I feel like cingulitis is a disease for people who are chronically single. Like, right. People who continuously fail at flirting or dancing. Like, Jack is standing on the dance floor. All his friends have been paired off and he's left standing alone. He says to himself, oh no, the cingulitis strikes again.
So, cingulitis, hiccups. What more can you tell me?
Okay, so to this day, scientists and doctors don't know why we hiccup. I know, it's mad.
Really?
They've racked their brains trying to figure out the purpose or function of hiccuping. Like, we did an episode on sneezing and found out that a sneeze is, of course, used to clear out your nasal passage. We also did an episode on why do we itch and found out it's a prehistoric way of warding off bugs, etc. But scientists are still unsure of what the function of hiccuping actually is. But they are looking into our evolutionary past for clues amongst our distant relatives. One promising candidate, you will never believe this.
Go on. Can I try and guess?
Okay, go on.
Chimps.
No. That's not,
oh,
that's,
it's always chimps.
It's always chimps.
Is it any kind of monkey?
No, not
dogs?
Even, like, could not be further from a monkey.
No?
No.
What is it?
amphibians.
What?
And in particular, tadpoles.
Tadpoles?
Tadpoles.
Do tadpoles hiccup?
Yeah, think of frogs.
Yeah, but tadpoles, is it a rabbit? Is that a hiccup? Is it like that? Maybe. Listen,
anyway.
I think you could be right, yeah.
The mechanics of what happens during a hiccup have fueled this theory. A hiccup includes a sharp contraction of the muscles used for inhalation, the diaphragm, mm-hmm. muscles in the chest wall and neck, amongst others. This is counteracted at the same time by the inhibition of muscles used during exhalation. And here, the back of the tongue and the roof of the mouth move upwards, followed by a clamping shut of the vocal cords, aka the glottis.
Right.
The last bit, kind of closing of the glottis, is the source of that kind of sound that goes...
I'm trying to make myself hiccup to make sense.
So it's the clamping shut of the vocal cords that causes
that's what
that
kind of gives
sound.
Us that, stop. So it's genuinely, your throat cuts off any sound you're producing really suddenly. It's like your glottis just shuts, and that's what gives it that kind of
Exactly. And
right.
As you no doubt know from first-hand experience, this process doesn't just happen once, but repeats in a rhythmic fashion. And tadpoles seem to exhibit a similar physiological behaviour. Halfway through its development, a tadpole has both lungs that breathe air and gills for breathing water.
Seriously?
Yeah, William...
Tadpoles are the boys.
Isn't that mad?
Yeah.
That's so that the professor of the University of Calgary wrote in a Scientific American article, to breed water, it fills its mouth with water and then closes the glottis and forces the water out through the gills.
Right.
So the hiccup-like action is seen in many primitive air breathers, such as lungfish and other amphibians that have gills.
So it's to stop the flow of the water.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
So if you try to get to that hic sound at the beginning of a hiccup and breathe, you can't. Try it.
Right, okay, I'm going to try and hiccup the... Yeah, it actually fully just closes your throat and you actually can. So is this the mechanism that tadpoles use to breathe water? So when we take an inhalation of air before a hiccup, they take an inhalation of water. When we get to the hic part and produce sound, then that's where they close their glottis and push the water out of their gills.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Exactly. And another clue linking hiccups in humans to these creatures is in the electrical origin of the hiccup trigger in our brain. So according to Neil Shubin, a professor of organismal biology and anatomy at the University of Chicago, spasms in our diaphragms, hiccups are triggered by electrical signals generated in the brainstem. Amphibian brain cells emit similar signals which control the regular motion of their gills. Our brain stems inherit from amphibian ancestors still spurt out kind of odd signals producing hiccups that are, according to Shubin, essentially the same phenomenon as gills breathing.
Really?
Mm.
So then, if hiccups are a remnant of the genetic code passed down by our amphibian ancestors, do they carry no real function in human state? Are they a vestigial function then, despite persisting for the last, God knows, almost 400 million years since our ancestors first stepped onto dry land?
Well, according to Livestrong, Christian Strauss, a scientist at Pete Salpetriere, this is French, you're going to have to do it again.
Pitié Salpetriere.
Oh, go again.
Pitié Salpetriere.
Petite Salpêtrière.
Yeah, but anyways, go on. So,
Petite Salpêtrière Hospital in France has put forward a theory that hiccuping might be a mechanism that helps mammals learn to suck, which involves a series of similar movements. And while this is very, very plausible, this theory would be difficult to prove until Strauss and his colleagues can demonstrate a correlation between the areas of the brain that control suckling and those that trigger hiccups. The purpose of this mysterious singulatus will remain just as that, a mystery.
You know what? I didn't think when I started today that I'd be sitting here getting compared to a hiccuping tadpole. But here we are.
You're the image of a hiccuping tadpole.
So anyway, we have a better understanding of what the hiccup is and where they came from. But in the 21st century, they still plague us. What actually causes hiccups?
So there are a few causes, and some include eating too much or too quickly. One possible reason for this is the combination of the temperatures of the food or drink along with how quickly it is consumed. Our bodies are set at about 35.5 degrees Celsius, and consuming something with a temperature much hotter or much colder than that, especially quickly, can cause spasms in the diaphragm because it's not expecting it.
Right.
Exactly. So another one is drinking alcohol or fizzy drinks. So carbonation tends to cause a buildup of gas that may irritate the diaphragm, causing it to spasm. The likelihood of getting the hiccups due to drinking carbonation drinks increases, if they are very hot or very cold.
Right.
And then lastly, periods of intense emotional reactions such as excitement, stress, fear when Marcus sees me can also be a cause. This is largely due to the fact that emotional changes can lead to us hyperventilating, which puts more air in the respiratory tract than usual and can cause the diaphragm to spasm.
So, like, every time you see me.
Exactly.
There you go. Let's talk remedies.
Okay, what's your go-to?
For hiccups?
Yeah.
I'm generally getting a fright.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
My parents used to always get me to drink a glass of water upside down.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of beginning to think more and more that was just definitely for their own enjoyment.
There's so many ways I've seen this done, but I would actually, like, for any of you who don't know Taz, like, you're not the most coordinated person in the world.
Hang on a minute. I am very coordinated.
I would pay very good money to watch you drink a glass of water upside down.
Okay, anyway, actual remedies. So yeah. One is to breathe into a paper bag.
Yeah.
Another is to pull your knees up to your chest and lean forward.
Right.
Another is to sip ice cold water.
Mm-hmm.
Swallow some granulated sugar.
Granulated sugar, really, for hiccups?
Yeah, I know. This is all research. I didn't do an experiment on this.
Yeah, okay.
Bite on a lemon or taste some vinegar. Or hold your breath for a short time.
I actually would prefer to see you drink a glass of water upside down. Are we talking like fully upside down? Like, you're trying to drink it while you're doing a handstand, or are you kind of
you
drink it from the far side of the glass.
The far side of the glass, yeah.
It's tough.
It is tough. It works then.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, okay, listen. Now we know all about cingulitis and the fact that we're all actually tadpoles. Any facts to wrap up this episode?
Why, of course we do. So, infants hiccup more than other humans, and ultrasounds have shown that even fetuses have hiccups.
A little baby hiccuping.
Could you imagine? Okay, the next one is a little bit terrifying.
Yeah?
The longest bout of hiccups lasted from 1922 until February 1990.
What? Oh my God.
I know, how horrific
that's
is
over
that
60 years.
I know, it's nuts.
Wow.
I know. And finally, you asked at the beginning of the episode where the word hiccup came from.
Mm-hmm.
So we mentioned that hick is the sound you produce when you hiccup. Hiccup is actually just short for hick, cough.
Doesn't have the same ring to it, does it? Like, hiccup is lovely. Hick, cough. Hick, cough. Hick, cough. Boom, hick, boom, hick, boom, hick, boom, hick,
boom, hick, boom, hick, boom, hick, boom. Well, there you go, Sophia. That is where hiccups came from and what causes them.
I'm flabbergasted that I thought that there was going to be a concrete answer to this.
Yeah.
But it's one of those mysteries of the world. All I've learned is that I am actually a frog.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, and for dedicating your ears to us for the last 15 or so minutes. If you're new to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, good news, there's over 40 episodes for you to binge listen to, and they cover all types of topics. You will be a more interesting dinner party guest if you listen to those episodes.
And you'll be sounder as well. And I mean, there's a lot to be just said for being sound in this day and age.
On that note, if you want to be sound and drop us a message, say hello, or if you want to send us a question, we would love, love, love to hear from you. Please, please, please get in touch via our social media.
You can get us on Facebook, just search In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, or if you're on Twitter, it's at In the Shower Pod.
If you want to send us a question via email, you can get us at intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com. If you don't have a question and you just want to say hi, we would also love that.
We are, as ever, accepting pictures of your dogs.
Always, always. A few thank yous to end the episode, Marcus. A
couple of thank yous. Thank you to Alan and Paddy and all the crew in the Head Stuff Podcast Network. Thank you for all the work you do. You guys are great.
Next up, thank you so much, Flo Robinson, for our amazing cover art. Woo! Love you, Flo.
Go on, Flo. Final thank you to Dave Gertzman for our super catchy theme music. He's Dave's Record-O-Rama on Instagram. Do check him out if you need a jingle.
And last but certainly not least, thank you so much to you for listening. I'm sure you look beautiful today.
I'm sure you're squeaky clean after that shower.
Next week's question.
Next week's question comes from Michael Doherty from Sligo. And his question is, why do we get butterflies?
That episode is going to be out next Monday in time for your morning shower. But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network. said you don't belong here. Those eyes for an ocean view and the moon. And we California dreaming from a city where that's so taboo. We always chase sunsets, we settle on the stars and moon. If I tell you about me, I hope you tell me what you've been through. Been through. We are the same, baby. Pray for love, yeah. Sunsets in May remind me way more of us, yeah. What's more to say when I've been out different state? Hope I can show you I made it out. Can't hold me down. You told me hold my hand. Just follow me, I'll show you golden land. And diamond water for a hopeless man. Things that you know, I know, I know. You said you don't belong here. Those eyes for an ocean view and the moon. And we California dreaming from a city where that's so taboo. Taboo. We always chase sunsets to settle on the stars and moon. And the moon. And if I tell you about me, I hope you tell me what you've been through. I'm always chasing this high, and all the pain in my eyes. Turn cold, December came by. Those storms don't ever break mine. Yeah, I was told to make it right. King of my city, frame white. You held it down, don't break light. I learned these things take time. Just take time. Hold my hand, I'll change your life. We both make plans, don't fade alive tonight. And tonight, you said you don't belong. Eyes for an ocean view and the moon, and we California dreaming from a city where that's so taboo. We always chase sunsets, we settle on the stars and moon. And if I tell you about me, I hope you tell me what you've been through.
Hey baby mama, don't need that fucking drama. I'm tryna come through, so let me know when to holler. Text late at night, titty pick and lip bite. Send the hit me up and I'll skirt over in a Honda. Both unemployed, but we finna put the work in. Netflix on, you want top club twerking. Disconnected and sad in reality. But this hour you finna feel all of me. Once you asleep, I'll dip out at 4 a.m. Shitty weekdays to make up for the weekends. Ain't looking for much, ain't even at all. I guess that's why we ain't working for a living. But I'll give everything I got if it means I got you. Tend to be a smart guy, but love got me a fool. I'll give everything I got if it means I got you. Tend to be a smart guy, but you got me a Passion mixed with passive aggression. How you a curse, but also a blessing. Mix emotions over mixed race girls, yeah. Pretty face with tight braids in your hair, and smooth talk followed by quick action. Who needs Netflix? We could be acting in our movie plus 18. NSFW, just for you and me. Pillow talk followed by petty vice. Sluggish days and stay up all night. I get times tough and I ain't there. I mean shit. Tomorrow I gotta catch this flight. But I'll give everything I got if it means I got you. Tend to be a smart guy, but love got me a fool. I'll give everything I got if it means I got you. Tend to be a smart guy, but you got me a Both unemployed, but we finna put the work in. Netflix on, you on top, club twerking. Disconnected and sad in reality.
but this hour you finna feel all of me. Once you asleep, out at about 4 a.m. Shitty weekdays and shitty weekends. Ain't living for much, we barely living. That's why we always overthink it. Yeah, I think I overstay my welcome. We argue till the sun come up. I swear we do this too much. I can't believe I let you keep a toothbrush in my place. Can't look at it the same. Everywhere I look, looks so tainted. Yeah, shit. I guess Cupid Zero missed. Huh, I guess Cupid Zero missed. Yeah.
Baby. Baby, it's been so long. And I just don't understand where we went so wrong. Everything you do to me. Got me so cluelessy, I don't know where I'd be standing on the line with you in this tragedy. It's just apathy running all through my brain, and baby, you can't sustain the feeling that is the pain in me. My heart is searching for you, but when I check the application, it ain't even reviewed. I'm blue every single night while I'm sitting alone, smoking my blue, fading in and out of my zone. I know that I gotta get right and root you out of my life, because you're stealing my light. The way you manipulate, change ways, exchange gaze, explains the situation, displays. I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna do. You stuck on my mind like tattoo. Why do you do so wrong? Why do you hate so strong? Cupid done shot me down, but his arrow ain't hit you, huh? Hey, yeah, I just don't know. Hey, yeah, where do we go? Hey, yeah, I just don't know. Seems it's a mystery, yeah.
Early in the morning, before the sun rose, when the first bird sang, even while everyone was still asleep.
Morning. On that morning.
When the sun comes.
cock-a-doodle-doo. I hear the rooster crowing.
Now you must wake up.
Now every morning when I wake up,
I woke up this morning with
the kiss of the morning.
Got up 7:30 every morning. Had the same breakfast.
Réveillez-moi à 8 heures demain matin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Riding a bike made of bacon and eggs.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Why should the sun replace the moonlight?
Yeah.
Well, that wraps up the show for this week. Keep on listening to the Wednesday Morning After on CKUT.
All right.
Directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
Thank you.